a Swiss clerk. I'm trying to learn the, you know, Good Will Hunting. There's the older Sarsgaard in that movie.
Oh, Stellan, yeah, yeah.
I think it's his name.
Stellan, yeah.
It's like I'm trying to get his accent. That's a hard accent, man.
Hard to do those.
I went the, what you went the boy the clerk. They have like this weird clerk. He's a Swiss clerk.
They have this weird Swedish thing going on.
It is fucked up.
What are they? Are they Norwegians? What are they?
I think they're Swedish.
Swedes.
Swedish. I want what you want. They can't let the boy blow the world up. It's not even remotely close. Can't let the boy blow the world up.
Blow the world up? Is that what he's saying?
Yeah. Well, like, Ted Kaczynski died this week. And I was like, there's like a weird... There's a scene in Good Will Hunting where they discuss the Unabomber because there's this weird tension in the movie Good Will Hunting that Will Hunting could at any moment just kind of like go off the rails and become a Unabomber.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's and so there's a scene where him and Robin Williams are having a chat in the bar about it. And Stellan Skarsgård's like asking the bartender, he's like, do you know who Albert Einstein is? And the guy's like, yeah. And he's like, Jonas Salk. And the guy's like, yeah. And then he says his own name, like Gerald Lambeau or something like that, Lambert. and then Robin Williams is like, well, do you know who Ted Kaczynski is? And Stellan Skarsgård's like, no. And the idea that, like, an MIT professor wouldn't know who the fuck Ted Kaczynski is, very strange.
You're calling bullshit on that?
Yeah. I don't know.
Did you ever watch the that movie Ted?
Is it about Ted Kaczynski or is it about the teddy bear Ted?
Not the Seth MacFarlane vehicle with Mark Wahlberg, but it was like an indie film. Kind of a biopic. Is it biopic or biopic? I always say biopic, but I've heard a lot of people say biopic. A
biopic is when you go to the hospital and they remove something from you.
Okay.
Just
kidding. So it's biopic then. Yeah. Yeah, and then there was like, wasn't there like a made for TV movie some years ago about him?
There's a fascinating...
I want to say Michael Shannon was in it, but I think he's just kind of in every movie about like a guy that
goes off the grid,
made us all know it was okay to be weird. David
yeah.
Koresh, Ted Kaczynski,
etc. Was he in a movie about David Koresh?
Well, yeah, he was in that miniseries.
Dude, Waco. There are no weird guys.
And there's
anymore.
A new Waco.
Dude, the thing about like the right wingers now is that like there are no like standouts. Like the only one we really got was the QAnon shaman. Yeah, what I'm saying is that like a standout like household name. Like everyone knows Ted Kaczynski, everyone knows Timothy McVeigh. Those are like names that stand out, right?
Yeah.
Now there's just too many of them and yeah. They're all unremarkable in their own boring way that none of them can ever become household names again, I feel like.
It's kind of like if you're wearing just something that's like earth tones,
yeah,
and you're wearing like a pink watch, like your eye will go straight to that pink watch.
Yeah.
But if you're wearing a pink watch and green shoes and a purple belt and a cheetah top, like it all becomes a neutral kind of.
Yeah.
You're saying the landscape of right wing, or not necessarily right wing, but just our weirdo landscape has become so maximalist that they're sort of boring.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's like there's a Ted Kaczynski everywhere you turn now.
Right. Yeah.
Honestly, like Charlie Kirk had a tweet about how Ted Kaczynski was brilliant. And also he was insane because he was experiencing gender dysphoria. And so it's like they've simultaneously.
Is that true? They like praised Ted and then like retconned him as trans.
Dude, it is weird. It's this weird. It's almost like the inverse of how like fascists would like to do to like certain groups of people. They would make them seem simultaneously weaker than everyone and simultaneously stronger than everyone. It's like this weird inversion now, where like everyone who is their enemy is, or I guess Ted Kaczynski wouldn't be their enemy. But, well, I guess he would be if he was experiencing gender dysphoria. So he's both more brilliant than everyone, but also more, in their parlance, more insane than everyone.
Yeah. So there was, you know, I mean, even I used to do this dumb shit where I'd be like, man, the Unabomber was kind of right, bro. What is Ted Kaczynski's legacy in terms of political violence?
Well, there's two things, right? There's the manifesto and there's the bombings. So there's those two things are different. You know what I'm saying?
The manifesto is a more right-wing, yeah?
It is.
But the bombings carried out, he maimed some bad people.
I think that it's like, I am firing 100% from the hip here. Gonna take some comments. Gonna take some mean comments in the comment box after this.
That's okay. I welcome them anymore.
But I think you're right. I think it was like professors, and maybe there was one corporate exec. He was.
I just remember in the made for TV miniseries.
Yeah.
That Michael Shannon is in, unless I'm just totally botching that memory, is. He, like, blows a guy's hand off. It's like some sort of corporate raider dude.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, man, he wasn't all bad.
Uh-huh.
But I don't remember really what he was about.
Yeah. I think that he was a white supremacist.
Yeah, okay. So not a good start.
I think he was kind of one of these original, like, return guys. He was like a trad guy, basically.
Yeah.
He's kind of like a Luddite, but like a white supremacist Luddite.
Yeah, like a guy that would, if he weren't as educated, would just start like a militia out in the woods somewhere.
The funny thing about that movie, Good Will Hunting, is that like the protagonist, Will Hunting, would never be the Unabomber. You know who would actually be the Unabomber in that movie? Uh-huh. It's the guy who he schools in the bar.
Oh, in that famous clip that goes around all the time.
In the famous clip. That's the guy who becomes the Unabomber. Ted Kaczynski was probably a really smart and brilliant guy, but he probably got schooled one time by like a kid from Southie.
And that's what set him off. That's what sent him.
Like, I've always wanted, that to me would be a way better movie. I want to see what happens to that guy. Like, after
he gets owned?
After he gets owned. I want to know what happens to his life.
I do want to know that, too, man. Like, what happened to him after... Once you get owned, it can tend to change your trajectory a little bit.
100%, dude. Like, you know how many people... I was talking about this with someone the other day. There's a guy who we used to make fun of on the show, who I won't name him here, but let's just say he ran a blog about coal mining from the perspective of the one and only coal miner who had ever
had an interior life.
I'm not going to say his name because it's going to trigger me, because it's...
He's kind of low-key responsible for you losing your job.
That's true. But, like, that guy, and a lot of early bloggers, Glenn Greenwald, etc., like,
Matt
they
Iglesias.
Got... Matt Iglesias. They got online brain rot before that was a thing on Twitter. Like, they got it on the blogs. They showed that's where you could get it there. You know what I mean? You could acquire the brain rot in blog space.
By writing posts.
Yes, exactly.
And then they've just carried on into the modern day until it's been.
That's Taibbi. They've all got owned really hard, like, once. and it shattered everything that they thought they knew about themselves and the world, and they've just gone on this weird detour ever since. It's like
they it seems to me that that's some of their behaviors could only be the behaviors of men that have been owned in a public forum like that.
Yeah, dude. That's why I'd never put myself in a public forum like that. Like, I'm not going to put myself in a position to be owned. I'm going to tell you this right now. I'd rather have my ass kicked in a public forum than be owned in a public forum.
Physical pain fades. You heal. You move on. Psychic pain tends to stick around a little longer.
Exactly. That's why the guy in the bar at Good Will Hunting, like that, they should have built out that character and made it like this almost sort of like Vince Gilligan Breaking Bad type thing where like these two characters, they collide early on and they spin off on their own trajectories as a result. And so that guy, he after that moment, he's probably getting into an early influencer named Alex Jones. He's
we saw what happened to that guy really in real time, in real life.
Did we?
If you recall, what was the line he says in that? Well, at least I'll have I'll have went to Harvard or something like that, or
I'll have
or whatever,
or something. Yeah, something like that,
or something like that. And do you remember one Barack Obama got on Jimmy Kimmel and was reading tweets about Donald Trump?
Right,
Donald Trump said something about that, and he said, "Well, at least I'll have been a president." And he dropped his phone like a mic drop. Well,
so in this case,
that turned out.
In this case, Donald Trump is Will
Hunter. Will Hunter. Yeah.
Like, of course that's your contention.
Yeah, of course that's your contention.
Oh.
Trump as an intellectual would be something. Like, if he could work a room like a Queens guy like he does now, but he was just this big-brained guy.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't even know what what
you
do.
Of course that's your contention. He's like, you probably still think quantitative easing at 12% is going to boost the economy. You're still reading Krugman, and he's like, I've moved on to Mencius Moldbug and Tucker Carlson.
Mencius Moldbug.
Nah, like that guy. He even looked. He was the quintessential '90s guy. You know what I mean? Like that guy in that bar. He had like kind of the long hair. He was wearing like the sweater. He looked like a quintessential like '90s guy.
Kind of looks like Mario Batali after Ozempic.
Yeah.
Kind of vibe. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like that's there's a subcurrent of Ted K running through that movie. And
Ted Kaczynski's got his fingerprints all over 1996 Oscar Award winner.
Good one, honey. Yeah. And I was like, that's the thing about Ted Kaczynski is he is an American archetype. Honestly, he's literally Walter White. He is. Yeah. He's like, Americans love a guy who is extremely intelligent and sort of brilliant from an sort of analytical or skills perspective or something like that, but who has no morals or values whatsoever.
Whatsoever, yeah.
They love that.
Yeah.
They love that. They're like, oh, because he's good at the thing, that makes up for the fact that he has no moral core. That's fine.
Right. Yeah, it's why we suck off billionaires all the time, because it's like, oh, well, they must have some sort of higher level of being because, you know, they've acquired great wealth.
Exactly. That's exactly right. That's why Elon Musk was able to get as far as he has, because it's like everyone thought that he had that same type of Ted Kaczynski, Walter White, like acumen, like mathematical skill acumen.
You are correct. It's not often I agree with Jimmy Carter. Who is that guy dead yet?
Dude, I'm telling you,
motherfucker's been in hospice for 2 years.
He's still on his way to Eastern Kentucky to help with flood relief. He's still
just taking him a minute.
He's driving 2 miles an hour like a great grandpa should.
Yeah.
He's probably in like North Carolina at this point. He's like, I heard you get a flood. Hello. Anyway,
Jimmy said it though. We have a moral crisis. It's just not what he said it was. Mm. Our moral crisis is that we think if somebody's good at something, that means that they're going to operate decently and honestly.
Yeah.
And for the good of the people. And that's, historically, that demographic doesn't do that.
That's the interesting thing about Elon Musk is he's not actually good at anything. He managed
well,
to...
Well, yeah, he's a fraud. Let's call it what it is. I'm just talking about the fact that he has acquired a massive fortune. Like, no, if you have done something noteworthy in an area, the assumption is that, you know, particularly if it is building wealth.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really have to be smart to build wealth, it turns out. In fact, most rich guys I know are incredibly dumb.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking like, I'm not saying like, oh, he's a fucking stupid ass because he's like has the wrong politics. No, I mean they're morons. That just kind of caught a break or two, you know?
Yeah. Well, Ted Kaczynski was never a wealthy individual. He never amassed wealth like Walter White or Elon Musk. But he had a superpower. That's it, man. Like, Americans are, they're babies. They're the biggest fucking babies. Right-wingers, libs, they're all fucking babies. It's like, if you have anything that could be even remotely construed as a superpower, advanced knowledge of, like, chemistry, mathematical skills that help you build bombs, brain surgeon.
Oh yeah. There is a club, man.
Yeah.
It's like Malcolm Gladwell's Outliers Club. Malcolm Gladwell would actually be a good name to put on this archetype because he too is like one of those guys that everybody thinks is kind of brilliant, but
yeah.
Really fairly mediocre. But like it's like a guy Ben Carson, Mr. Gifted Hands. Elon Musk. I'm talking about guys that if they weren't like really good at one thing, and again, Elon Musk is kind of borderline because
mm-hmm.
he ain't really good at a lot, but really good at one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were to strip that away from them, they might be like, you know, yelling at you on the street or something.
Dude, what we need to do is we need to get like welders and truck drivers, guys who are like really good at those things, to infiltrate the circle of guys who pride themselves on being really good at things. Like, could you imagine if an episode of Breaking Bad where Walter White had to go up against like a MIG welder? He'd be fucked.
Oh man, he'd be cooked. Yeah.
Like,
that's true.
There's no match. You can give me all the Ted Kaczynskis in the world, but not a single one of them, not a single one of them is going to be able to fix a engineering situation like a guy who has 3 semesters of welding at his local community college and knows how to back a trailer into a driveway.
Yeah. Yeah. Man. That is hard, man. Listen, the guys that need to be running the world are the guys that can, like, back a huge vessel or some sort of vehicle that requires a CDL into a very narrow space with ease.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm always in awe of that.
Yeah.
Like, I sometimes see the Lexington firefighters backing those fire trucks into their, like, old...
Yeah.
And it's like their margin for error is so slim because it's like there's only 6 inches of wall, like, you know, on either side. I would knock that motherfucker over if I was trying to back that. It's not a doubt in my mind.
Yeah. And so would Ted Kaczynski. You know why? He's been in prison a long time. He probably doesn't even remember how to drive. He probably does not remember how to operate a vehicle.
That's true. It's so. He'd be like Michael Myers in the first Halloween. You know where Michael Myers inexplicably has been in prison since he was 8 years old for murdering his sister, but he gets out and he's a great driver. He steals the car and he's great.
He
just spends like part of the movie just driving around, perfectly obeying traffic.
It is fucked up. They sent an 8-year-old to prison for that.
Yeah. For the crime of murdering his sister.
I love how like Ted Kaczynski was like a prolific, like reply guy. Like he commented on like dozens of articles and stuff. One person found one in the New York Review of Books in 2005. To the editors, in Survival of the Smallest, New York Review, March 10th, Isfahan Diq writes on page 22, In ancient Egypt, dwarfs were often venerated like gods. Diq here is discussing pathological dwarfs. However, Paul Shibesta argues persuasively that the god dancers venerated by the ancient Egyptians were not pathological dwarfs at all, but pygmies from the African rainforest. Shibesta cites, inter alia, a letter of the pharaoh Pepi or Pheops II, 6th dynasty, which seems clearly to support this view. Ted Kaczynski wrote that from Florence ADX. It's like, oh man, like, it's like, I don't know, probably a well-read guy.
it's just like, well, I mean, there's only like three things you can do in prison, mm-hmm. you know, and it's like become very erudite, convert to Islam, or get super jacked, or some combination of the three.
Yeah, dude.
You know,
I'm trying to do all three. Could you imagine how unstoppable you would be if you did all three?
If you were just a jacked Muslim genius.
Yeah.
You had the fruit of Islam, sub 10% body fat, clocking in about 220 pounds, and yeah. Also you could just chapter and verse every text that you can throw at this man.
Right. What about his thesis? It's on the University of Michigan website.
Still.
Like from the '60s, like when he was a mathematics grad student. Yeah, I think they kept it on there. Dog, they're getting those clicks. You gotta keep you gotta get the clicks.
However it's gotta happen,
that's right. Well, I don't have a fucking login password. I guess I can't read it.
You're not logged into Wolverine Net?
No, I'm not.
Don't have a subscription.
I don't have one. Unfortunately. Boy. I don't know. There's like, I know Ted Kaczynski hated leftists. He hated leftism. He hated all the various leftisms. Everything from
anarchism,
communism.
He was
like a kind of anarchist. I think he was like a right-wing anarchist. Maybe like a, what do they call them? ANCAPs? Like an anarcho-capitalist or something? Yeah.
Oh, man.
I don't know. I'm not an expert on Kaczynski, obviously. Mostly because he's one of those guys like, I guess it's interesting that he was really smart and bombed some things, but you know, we have presidents who are really smart and bomb things.
Bomb some things. Like, presidents are really dumb and bomb some things. Also, bombing not something you got to be particularly erudite to do. You know?
Yeah. It's like I don't really. That's exactly right.
You know.
What's the value add here?
I know a lot of guys. I know, in fact, I could probably name them by name that didn't finish middle school, but could probably make a pipe bomb, live up on fucking Solomon.
Uh huh.
Also on Solomon, the guy that invented the Hadron Collider. That place bred a lot.
Mm-hmm. I mean, do you think we'll see another? Like the right wingers love Ted Kaczynski because of his like anti-woke, racist, you know. I don't understand it. I don't understand, like, what their thing of him is. It's like they recuperate his terrible beliefs, but they say that the way that he went about it, like bombing and stuff, was a result of his MKUltra experience. And
they love the sin or hate the sin.
Yeah.
Except they don't really hate the sin. They just don't know how to get away with it.
Well, I don't even know why they even care that much because, like, with the whole Trump indictment thing that happened this week, there's, like, the Secretary of State in Arizona was literally saying that, like, 75 million Americans voted for Trump, and they're all armed to the teeth. So, you know, fuck with us at your own peril. It's like, why do they even care? Why do they even care about doing respectability politics with Ted Kaye? It's like, they're already telling us that they're fucking just absolutely chomping at the bit to just murder each and every one of us and throw us into a fucking unmarked grave.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, you don't have to do all this Unabomber apology.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, you already unironically endorse everything he did and believe in. Like, why do you care about appearing? I don't know. It's, oh, man, I don't know.
What I hate so much about these people, it's the most, like, spineless, spindly people that are now hiding behind, like, the politics of, like, this fascist aggression.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like, you could just imagine a world where, like, Ben Shapiro is not, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's, like, the kid that can, like, run his mouth because his big brother's a badass or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's just all their mouthpieces are guys that have never fought a fight of their own or a real struggle of their own. And that's what like infuriates me about them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even like the fucking like just dumb guys that love guns or whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Even those guys are bad enough in themselves. But like, yeah, at least you have some sort of like continuum of respect for your enemy there. But it's like, all these Shapiros and the Matt Walshes and all these fucking pussies, like, dude.
Well, there's an article that I read in New York Times today that was about, it was interesting, Trump supporters' violent rhetoric in his defense disturbs experts. I love that headline, by the way. It's like, experts are disturbed. They're like, I'm an expert in violence and political violence, and I'm deeply disturbed.
One, don't care a damn bit for this.
No, I don't care. I don't care one iota of a bit for all the uptick in rhetoric.
I'd like to see this die down a little bit.
I'd like to see it die down just a little. The former president's allies have portrayed the indictment as an act of war and called for retribution, which political violence experts say increases the risk of action. It's like, dude,
no shit. Hey, 70 million people armed to the hilt saying they would go to the mat for this guy. Well, I think there's been an escalation.
The federal indictment of former President Trump has unleashed a wave of calls by his supporters. Okay, well, the indictment was about him taking home a bunch of boxes with documents in it, right?
Right, that's what the meme of the week was the all the banker's boxes stacked up in his compound.
Yeah, and someone on, I think it was like Maureen Dowd or someone like that, was like, or maybe it was Pamela Paul, I don't remember, but someone was like, this is like our beautiful nation's beautiful secrets stacked up in the bathroom like that. Seeing that, just
just, yeah, it was there. She was mad about the lack of respect for the, you know,
just keeping it like as toilet reading material. That's expert. That is, oh, yeah, fucking expert.
Oh yeah,
that's great. It's like, I mean, usually, I mean, like, I don't know, like in my bathroom, you know, you put some, you maybe put some, like, a New Yorker magazine in there from, like, 7 years ago. It's not even relevant at all anymore.
Yeah.
Or, like, a Wired magazine from 1998 or something.
Yeah. But,
like, putting, like, 40,000 pages of classified material on, you know, like, Kim Jong Il's like BMI, that kind of stuff, just like next to the toilet.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, what the fuck was in there? So, like, nothing. I guarantee you, it was nothing important. Who the fuck cares? It was like shit like that. I guarantee it.
He had Ted Nugent's Gibson in there that he gifted him.
Was it really?
Yeah. It's just kind of propped up right next to the shower.
I guarantee you, it's stuff like what Madero's like. Yeah, like how his ulcer is doing. It's like literally probably just shit, like
just like stupid daily briefings about like the most inane things, and with the occasional, you know, crazy secret that, you know, whatever.
Also, I don't get, like, okay, what is the worst possible outcome there? Like if I was his lawyer, if I was Trump's lawyer in this, and I'm not defending him, I'm just saying, like, you know, obviously the libs that are pissed off about this, like, I just want to ask, like, what is the worst possible outcome of a president taking classified material home? Like, what's the worst possible outcome, truly? Like,
worst thing that happens?
Yeah, like, what's the worst thing to happen? I guess that, like, Kid Rock could come over and, like, leak it to the press or leak it to his Twitter feed or something, like, I don't know. I'm just saying, like, what's the worst possible?
Also, things probably are moving so rapidly. A lot of that shit is probably not even
relevant.
You know what I mean? The man's been out of office for 3 years. You know what I mean? Think about all that's happened. Like,
right.
All of our beautiful nation's beautiful secrets right there, just like a cheap whore. I can't believe that's why these people are mad. Mad about optics always.
I know, everything sucks so bad because, like, you've got on one side the people mad that all this shit is stacked up in a bathroom, but then on the other side, the people who defend the right to stack it in the bathroom are basically pledging to cut down the tall trees and throw us all into mass graves.
Yeah, water the tree of liberty with the blood of patriots, et cetera, et cetera.
It sucks so bad. Like, we're truly caught between two of the worst warring factions in human civilization.
It's maddening, too, dude. It's maddening because it's like on one hand, we're supposed to be in concert with these people if we're respectable, good people or whatever, who are so feckless and crooks. And on the other hand, just pure degeneracy. It is funny, though, that it's like, oh, you got guys be like, oh, well, you act like you've never stacked up 30 banker's boxes in your downstairs bathroom. That's not so weird.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
it is at this point, like, I mean, this is the most trapped point you can make, but it is true. It's like, if Trump came out and said, from 1967 to briefly at my time in office, I diddled more than 2,600 kids, you would have people contorting themselves into an argument that pedophilia is good and okay.
It is okay for him to do it, yeah.
Yeah. 100%. It's just, there's nothing that's beyond reproach for this guy.
No, you're absolutely right.
You know.
You're absolutely right. And then, like, on the other side, the libs would be like, they have their own boundaries that they can't cross because of, like, the sanctity of the office or whatever. So they would, like, literally just say, like, it's wrong that he did this, but we can't stop him from doing it again or for pursuing that, like, level of office that would allow him to do that again, because that would set a dangerous precedent.
Right.
That would set a dangerous precedent because, like, hey, maybe one of ours guys gets in there and maybe he diddles 2,700 kids. And we can't hold
him to the same standard.
Like, yeah, it's like they would come after us. They would come after us if we did that, and then, you know what I'm saying? It's like that. Oh, yeah. There's like
there's literally one escalation in this fight that, and it's just to see if the Republicans have enough balls to try to assassinate Joe Biden.
Yeah.
But it's also one of those things where it's like if the body's dying, you don't want to be found standing next to it with a smoking gun. You know what I mean? It's like the heavy hand of time may, you know, intervene there.
Yeah, he goes to like a Chuck E. Cheese in Nebraska or something, and he's like shaking a kid's hand next to the ball pit and just collapses, and that's the end of Joe. It's like that kid.
And by your estimation, that's slated to happen sometime in September of next year.
September of 2024. I really
I like how you've triangulated it down to the month. And it's like, that's no, my money in the Joe Biden death pool is on that in September of 2024.
I really hope
this more than I know I'm going to, you know, wake up tomorrow.
I really hope I'm wrong, because if I'm right, I will have a lot of explaining to do to the FBI.
Yeah, they're going to want to know if you'd made a visit to that ball pit days before.
The federal indictment of Trump, blah, blah, blah. In social media posts and public remarks, close allies of Mr. Trump, including a member of Congress, have portrayed the indictment as an act of war, called for retribution, and highlighted the fact that much of his base carries weapons. The allies have painted Mr. Trump as a victim of a weaponized Justice Department controlled by Joe Biden. The calls to action and threats have been amplified on right-wing media sites and have been met by supportive responses from social media users and cheers from crowds. Experts on political violence warn that attacks against people or institutions become more likely when elected officials or prominent media figures are able to issue threats or calls for violence with impunity. Eye for an eye, wrote Representative Andy Biggs, Republican of Arizona, on Friday. His warnings came shortly before the special counsel in the case, Jack Smith, spoke to the public for the first time since he took over the investigation of Mr. Trump's retention of classified documents.
Since Mr. Trump's retention of semen.
Since he went NOFAP.
Since he went NOFAP.
Trump went NOFAP. He's had no contact with the press.
Can't even talk about it.
Yeah.
Hates it so much.
On Instagram, Kimberly Guilfoyle posted a photo of the former president with the words, "Retribution is coming," in all capital letters. Isn't that what Papa John said? Didn't he say something like that? Or like a reckoning is coming?
Yeah, he said a reckoning is coming. And then shortly after, he said, "Listen, I've eaten more than 60 pizzas in the last 48 hours. I know pizza." They changed the formula out for none, you know?
That is one of the funniest statements in the history of mankind, and I'm not exaggerating. I want you to think about that. A reckoning is coming. I've eaten more than 60 pizzas in the last 24 hours.
I know what taste is supposed to be like. This isn't it. And it all started when... When he said the N-word, and then they hired Little John to be the new CEO, as like a PR thing.
Oh man, I can't get. That's such a funny statement to make. Just in response to that happening, that sequence of events. That is such an American story. Like, our folk heroes now are mathematics geniuses who blow up professors at the mailbox, or they're racist pizza chain owners.
That's how you become larger than life in America.
I mean, truly, because I don't know. It is fascinating how you have one life to live, right? You get one trip through this cosmos, through the fucking void. And America has hollowed out all meaning to that. It kind of goes back to what we were saying earlier.
It really is the gravest of sins, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like, it
You've
hollows
stripped
out
so many people's lives of meaning. If there really is some sort of cosmic retribution for that, there's not a Hieronymus Bosch painting that details what will happen to all those responsible.
Right, right.
It's just, we don't know of that. We don't even know what horrid thing lies for it.
Just that can become a man's legacy. Like, that is, it's like, that's insane. It's like that a man's legacy can become, he built up a pizza chain in 150 different cities across America, and that he then has a racist meltdown that gets him ousted like a boardroom coup, and then he gets on Twitter or some streaming platform and starts sounding like fucking Elijah coming out of the desert wilderness or something.
Can
like
I play this for you?
Coming.
Can I play this? Do you remember specifically how sweaty he was when he said that?
It's very sweaty. I mean, like, I've eaten nothing but 60 pizzas for two days, and the reckoning is coming.
So I may get, I got you here.
Slurring his words.
So Papa John Schnatter, guys, he's just not having it. The founder and former CEO of his namesake restaurant did an interview with a local Louisville affiliate, and he accused his successor, Steve Ritchie, and current and former board members of conspiring against him. Schnatter was ousted after admitting to using a racial slur on a conference call last summer. He says executives used that incident to, quote, steal the company from him.
More importantly,
Schnatter said the company's pizza just isn't the same since he's gone. Take a listen.
The formula changed.
I've had over 40 pizzas in the last 30 days. It's not the same pizza. It's not the same product. It just doesn't taste as good. The way they're making the pizza, the way they're putting the pizza together is just not fundamentally sound to what makes a Papa John's pizza a Papa John's pizza.
Schnatter is no longer the company's largest shareholder. He's been selling off his stock over the last year. In the interview, he talked about a, quote, a day of reckoning coming in which the truth would come out about what actually happened. Papa John's did not respond to a request for comment on the interview, which went viral.
Father John, it's like there's like all the you've got John the Baptist, and then I'm sure there's like a Pope John that was probably, you know, imminent.
JP like, the third,
yeah. Just but then Papa John. Oh man, they should let that guy be Pope, like Papa John, Father Papa John. First, Schnatter should be Pope.
Oh my God, dude!
Oh man, dude, he would love it in Italy at the Vatican, just eating pizza all day.
He's like, we were okay. We were embellishing a bit, but still, I've eaten more than 40 pizzas in the last 30 days. 30 that days. Man's eaten 1.2 pizzas per day. That's
a lot.
That's still a lot of pie.
Well, I love he did it. He did it like a scientific experiment too. He was like trying to determine how the formula had changed, and that's why he was doing it. He was like testing each individual. That means he disliked them because the formula changed and he didn't like the formula change. So he was eating, he ate 40 pizzas that he did not enjoy in 30 days.
Man.
All for science. We talk about like, you know, we talk about how, scientists like experiment on themselves. Isaac Newton stuck that thing in his eye to like be able to see the color prism.
Yeah, you know. David Letterman tacked a bunch of Alka-Seltzer onto his person and sat in a bathtub.
Yeah,
nearly killing him.
That's right. And then Papa John ate 40 pizzas. That's called scientific method, dedication to the spirit of science.
A day of reckoning will come. That's all of our kooks. These guys, all what they all have in common, first ballot Hall of Famers to our garden of true American freaks.
Uh-huh. Truly. In Georgia, I'm reading from this article still, at the Republican State Convention, Carrie Lake, who refused to concede the Arizona election for governor in 2022, and who is an ardent defender of Mr. Trump, emphasized that many of his supporters own guns. I have a message tonight from Merrick Garland and Jack Smith and Joe Biden and the guys back there in the fake news media. You should listen up as well. This one's for you. So this one's for us, too, because we're in fake news.
Right.
If you want to get to President Trump, you're going to have to go through me, and you're going to have to go through 75 million Americans just like me. And I'm going to tell you, most of us are card-carrying members of the NRA. That's not a threat. That's a public service announcement. Boom.
Damn.
Blah,
blah. And oh, that's the tea, sis.
Political violence experts say that even if aggressive language by high-profile individuals does not directly end in physical harm, it creates a dangerous atmosphere in which the idea of violence becomes more accepted, especially if such rhetoric is left unchecked. There is the politician. There was one quote in this that fucking killed me. Let's see. The language used by some right wing media figures was more stark. On Pete Santilli's talk show, the conservative provocateur declared that if he was the commandant of the Marine Corps, he would order every single Marine to grab Joe Biden, throw him in freaking zip ties in the back of a freaking pickup truck, and get him out of the White House. One of his guests, Lance Migliaccio.
So this man's basically advocating for kidnapping the commander-in-chief of the armed forces. He's like, calling for a coup, a deposing.
Both of these guys are Italian. Pete Santilli and Lance Migliaccio. Yo. Hey, fucking...
You talk about two guys that couldn't fucking knock over a convenience store talking about kidnapping the president.
Lance Migliaccio, he said that if it were legal and he had access, he would probably walk in and shoot General Mark A. Milley, chairman of the Joint Chief of Staff, and someone Trump has said.
Hey, listen, man, if murder was fucking legal, I would go murder this fucking guy. I'm not breaking no laws or nothing, man. If murder was fucking legal, I would murder this fucking guy. I swear to God.
I swear to fucking God. If they want statutes on the fucking books, I'd murder the fucking...
If there wasn't checks and balances and so forth and repercussions, I swear to God, this guy would be fucking whacked.
Be a mass fucking potato on the sidewalk, I swear to fucking God.
I would curb stomp this motherfucker.
If it were legal.
If only it were legal. That's a instant classic dumb guy thing to say. Listen, if fucking murder was legal, I would murder this fucking guy. It's like, bro, also these guys control the most bloodthirsty fucking empire in the history of modern society.
Yeah, it's like,
you're not murdering a Joint Chiefs of Staff, no. Legal or otherwise.
That's the thing, like, reading this article, it's like, damn, dude, I really wish that they would pull up and try to do something even more insane than January 6th. Because
I'm going to, dude. It's pure dumb guy hubris that's going to, like, push the next thing.
Yeah, I mean, because it's like, we really probably will have a military coup in this country. Like, not like a right-wing one or a left-wing one. Just like some
guy decides he wants to be the grand potentate that's inside, and then he just pulls it off.
Well, just that, like, we reach a point where there's no way to contain this, like, low-grade conflict that, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't think it'll ever erupt into all-out civil war, but it might cause enough, like, civic and social disruption and unrest. And, like, you can't rely on the cops to do anything about it, really. So, like, the only way to do it is basically, like, a martial law situation where, like, there is a junta, like a military junta.
A junta, yeah, classic Central American-style junta.
A classic junta.
Yeah.
I think that might be the only way to like, do it. I don't know, though. Lance Migliaccio, he's fucking... If he's on the fucking case, I don't know.
Knowing our fucking luck, Lance fucking Migliacci will be fucking on the Joint Chiefs of Staff in the next 20 years.
Yeah, be on the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
All of his dissenting opinions will have, like, meatball grease on them and stuff.
Yeah.
Pizza.
And, like, listen, I've been fucking saying it forever. Murder needs to be legal so I can murder this fucking guy. And so that's my opinion today.
Oh, fuck, dude. So far, the reactions from Mr. Trump supporters have been more intense and explicit than those expressed after Trump was indicted in a separate case by the Manhattan DA, Alvin Bragg, in late March. Shortly before that indictment, Mr. Trump posted an article on Truth Social, his social media platform, that included a photo of himself holding a baseball bat on one side of Mr. Bragg in an adjacent photo. Dueling crowds of pro-Trump and anti-Trump protesters appeared in Lower Manhattan when Mr. Trump was arraigned in April. On Saturday, his first public remarks since the latest indictment on 7 charges related to retention of classified documents and efforts to obstruct justice, Mr. Trump attacked those investigating him as engaged in demented persecution. I mean, talks about, like, the FBI being a target of right-wing criticism, and about that guy in Cincinnati who stormed the FBI office there, like, last year.
Hell yeah.
And tried to shoot it up. It wasn't Lance Migliaccio. Hey, I'm fucking Cincinnati.
No, fucking Lance would have got it done.
I mean, fucking Cincinnati, I'm outside the FBI office. I'm gonna blow them all the fuck away.
Yeah.
Despite whatever security precautions are taken for Mr. Trump's appearance on Tuesday, security experts said that the rhetoric and the threats from it were unlikely to subside and would likely become more pronounced as the case moves forward in the election years. Okay, this is the quote that killed me. This is from Timothy J. Heafy, the lead investigator. Do what?
Hefe.
Timothy Hefe. Timothy Boss. The lead investigator for the Select House Committee that investigated January 6th. He said, rhetoric like this has consequences. People who we interviewed for the January 6th investigation said they came to the Capitol because politicians and the president told them to be there. Politicians think that when they say things, it's just rhetoric, but people listen to it and take it seriously. In this climate, politicians need to realize this and be more responsible. I got bad news for you, Chief. That is the weakest thing. This is from a guy who quite possibly had the power to make sure that Trump could never run again. It's just like, they just need to be more responsible.
Yeah, he just need to calm down a little bit. Cool your jets
down.
A little bit.
Yeah.
It is interesting to see what they're going for with Trump. Right? Because it's a very weird tone. Because, like, it kind of feels like they're trying to, like, sort of prevent him from ascending again.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, they find it politically useful to have all these fucking, you know, troglodytes running around climbing walls and, you know, ultimately doing nothing but, like, causing this stir. That way they'll have something to put in their little fucking fundraising emails and appeals and so forth.
Right.
So it's very hard to see what's like what their angle is here.
Right. Yeah. Man, that's the thing. Like, imagine something comes of this that says Trump can't run again. Is that a possibility?
I guess so. I mean, they could throw his ass in prison, I guess.
And then would that redound to DeSantis or Mike Pence? I'm just kidding. Mike Pence doesn't have a chance.
I think Pence is cooked.
The Gateway pundit wrote, "This means war." Hours later, Joe Kent, a Trump-endorsed House candidate in Washington State, went on a podcast run by Steve Bannon and declared, "This just shows everyone what many of us have been saying for a long time. We're at war.
We're at war.
Fuck.
Oh, no.
Fuck.
Fuck. I don't want to be at war.
I don't either, man. I would prefer not to be at war."
The only, like, upshot of the Biden 4 years, which has been just abject disappointment over abject disappointment. Like, brief moments of, like, damn, Joe's going to do something well, it got undone. Is just not having to hear about these fuckers for 4 years quite as much. I mean, they still pop up, right, or whatever, but, like, you know. They're not ascendant necessarily. And they're still not, but I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. Well, I don't know. I guess we better watch our backs. Because Lance Migliaccio may be fucking waiting in the wings at any moment.
Fucking Migliacci.
Sleeping with the fishes.
Hey, I also ate 40 pies in fucking 3 days.
You don't want to fucking mess with me, bro.
They did change the formula. They did change the formula. Hey, listen, you can think what you want about the things he says, but the pie was better when Papa John was fucking there.
What I don't understand is, like, how... In terms of pizza formula, like, how badly can you fuck it up? I don't know. It's the thing.
Yeah, a food that famously everybody says, even the worst I've ever had is pretty good.
It's fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, man. But the thing is like, we don't have the taste. We don't have the palate, the refined palate like Papa John. So.
Well, we didn't start a multi-million dollar pizza conglomerate either. That's, you know, true. That's a different level of palate.
That is true. It's very true.
Oh shit.
Yeah. Well, what else is going on? I feel like there was a few other things that I had seen. Like the Tesla thing, the shocking toll of Tesla's autopilot.
What was that about?
It was a story in the Washington Post about Tesla, like how the number of fatalities and injuries has like soared to astronomical heights.
Huh.
Uh-huh.
You don't say. Like, just, yeah. Like, weirdly above the average for their market share, or?
Yeah. Well, the most recent data includes at least 17 fatal incidents, 11 of them since last May. 11 people have died from autopilot collisions since last May.
11.
I mean, I don't know. It's, I know I've said this before, but to me, the driverless car, like autopilot, automated driving,
yeah,
is such an indictment on quote unquote democracy. It's like I had no say in this. I don't even really have a say in getting hit by a car, obviously, that's operated by a person, right? Like, right. If I had my way, cars wouldn't exist, period.
But right, but still, you kind of buy into it because you have to get from point A to point B, and so you kind of accept some risk. But I don't trust Elon Musk's brain trust enough to...
No.
Yeah, I wasn't consulted about this.
Yeah, dude. But yeah, I don't know. There's nothing really in the article that... There's nothing in the article that would surprise you, right, other than just, you know, cars like speeding up as they go through intersections and, let's see, transportation. Pete Buttigieg told the AP last month that autopilot is not an appropriate name when the fine print says you need to have your hands on the wheels and eyes on the road at all times. How's Buttigieg addressing this?
What's he saying?
Come on, mate, Mayor Pete. Ban this shit, brother.
He strikes me as a Tesla guy, but didn't that Wired article say he drives a Mustang?
Yeah, he drives a Mustang. It's like a
hybrid Mustang.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I forgot. We almost made it through the show without acknowledging our debt. To our public servants in the intelligence agencies. I almost forgot. According to NatSec Mulligan on Twitter, check on your friends who have dedicated their lives to serving in the intelligence community and keeping America's secrets. They've had a rough 24 hours and they are not okay. That was with regards to the Trump bathroom stacks.
I'll be sure and do that. Yeah.
the countless people in my life who work in the intelligence industry.
I like how you said that, like it's like the teachers in your life or the postmen or folks that work in the service industry in your life. Check on them.
Uh huh.
Yeah. Everybody has those deep state assassins in their life. Give them a call. You know.
Yeah. Just check in on them.
Yeah.
Get a wellness check.
Oh God.
I legitimately don't think I have ever met in the flesh, as far as I know, a single person working in the intelligence field. Like, you know what I mean? Like maybe they were.
Well,
and I didn't know
that's
it.
Kind of the deal though, right?
Right.
You wouldn't know.
That wouldn't know, you're right.
Unless they were like, had a public facing position. But.
Yeah, that is a hilarious assumption. Just that, like, your average American is like going to lunch with three or four spies.
Or maybe that's what maybe that's what he's saying. Maybe he's saying, well, whether you know it or not, Anybody that you interface with in daily life that you're a bit suspicious of, just call check on them. No reason.
Yeah, right. They may be going through a hard
time. They may be going through a hard time with this box, with Boxgate.
The fact that we keep the secrets on papers in boxes like that, that's pretty incredible to me, honestly.
Oh, man. It's truly something.
Are they not on the cloud? Or, like, I mean...
Yeah, like, is that only to, like kind of steal our secrets and our data and information? Or, like, you keeping it analog? Maybe that's what it is. Maybe analog is the safer way to go, you know?
It's, like, printed out. You remember when we were kids, that printer paper that you had to tear down the sides?
Yeah.
It's, like, all on that shit.
Yeah. And, like, they're all running, like, 97 model IBMs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's my advice for all of you this week as you're going out there into the world. If you have a friend who you think is struggling because they saw some boxes in Donald Trump's bathroom, check in on them. They may secretly work for an intelligence agency.
Also, a funny assumption that the agencies that keep all the world's secrets and decide who lives and dies in the game of geopolitics are so soft that this bathroom box scandal is like got them rattled. Like, you know what I mean? Like, these guys have killed like American citizens that are like, you know, teenagers in different places and done all manner of evil in the world. But it's really just them sending their precious secrets and their life's work treated so carelessly.
Dude, that really is like some Graham Greene, Quiet American shit. It's like they can like look at like piles of bodies stacked one on each other or like beheaded, whatever.
Feel nothing.
And like just walk away from it just like that's the price of empire. But they see just like boxes. Yeah. They see boxes in a bathroom and they're completely fucking scarred, just triggered.
It's like, God damn. Oh, we used to be a proper country, you know.
Amazing. Amazing. All right. Well, you know, like I said, go forth and do that. And I guess that's all we've got for today. Until the next time and or the day of reckoning, I guess we'll, you know, we'll see you later.
We'll see you on the great day of reckoning.
See you on the great day of reckoning. All right. Adios.